Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
It's Saturday the 13th of April. I'm Kira Revens, and this was a week that saw Rishi apologize for ruining Adidas trainers for everyone, Minister Bates versus the Post Office Inquiry, Ireland gets its youngest ever Taoiseach, and America basks in a solar eclipse.
Grab a cup of something hot, put up your feet, and get up to speed on the seven biggest stories of the week. This is the Standout 7 from the Smart 7.
It's news,
but not the news.
This week saw more election drama from the Reform Party, a bizarre apology from Rishi Sunak, and no good news on the NHS. Monday saw the Reform Party ridiculed from all sides about their new policy proposal, which would see net zero targets scrapped and the money put into the NHS. The proposal immediately attracted criticism, including queries from the maths they used to devise it. The press conference also turned awkward as leader Richard Tice admitted he'd had to deselect 10 local election candidates for racist, homophobic or sexist comments on social media. Bizarrely, they haven't dropped former Conservative Party Deputy Chairman and new Reform UK recruit Lee Anderson, who managed to turn a question on Romani gypsies into a racist rant about the travelling community at the same press conference.
Is that we got the Romanis and they got this travelling community who were just thieves, vagabonds, and ruining my entire village, and I will do it again.
As the nation waits for Prime Minister Rishi Sunak to finally call a date for the general election, the Labour Party have been quietly building their manifesto with new policy announcements and commitments. This week has seen them turn their attention to the NHS with a plan to digitise children's medical records in a bid to tackle falling vaccination rates. Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer told ITV News he's prepared to work hand in glove with the private sector to help reduce NHS waiting lists and resolve the current crisis at speed.
Where there's capacity in the private sector, that should be done to bring down the waiting lists. The principle that healthcare, the NHS, should be free at the point of need, of use, is absolutely fundamental to us.
Labour Shadow Chancellor Rachel Reeves said that Labour will generate more funding for the NHS for things like school breakfast clubs by making a focused effort to cut down on tax evasion and closing loopholes.
The government's plans about non-doms, well, it turns out they've taken it but left a load of loopholes in it. If you are a non-dom, you can still get out of paying inheritance tax. And in the first year of their policy, there's a 50% discount.
One of the most difficult jobs in Britain must surely be Rishi Sunak's media advisor. The Prime Minister loves a photo opportunity or the chance to make a hilarious video, like his Home Alone Christmas shambles or last week's cricket video, which had cringe levels never previously observed by science. He popped up on LBC on Wednesday and started with an apology to fans of Adidas Samba trainers after wearing a pair last week with chinos and black socks.
Well, first of all, I was issuing a fulsome apology to the Samba community. But in my defence, I would say I have been wearing Adidas trainers, including Sambas, and others, in fact, for many, many years.
Banter out of the way, he turned up to the much more serious matter of the security breach last weekend, which saw prominent MP William Ragg admit he had been catfished and compromising the security of other MPs. LBC listeners wanted to know why Ragg wasn't just sacked instead of being allowed to step down of his own accord.
There are wider things happening, and he rightly apologised for what happened, and it's a good reminder to everyone, but particularly those in public life, to obviously be careful about unsolicited messages that they get, because there's lots of bad actors, as we're seeing around. around the world.
Of all of Rishi's five pledges, it's the pledge to cut NHS waiting lists that seems to be the hardest to achieve. The Prime Minister got more bad news on Thursday as new figures showed that waiting list numbers remain at near record highs, with over 7.5 million treatments waiting to be carried out. That sounds slightly on previous months, and the cancer waiting time was met for the first time. As Secretary Victoria Atkins says, ongoing industrial action hasn't helped, and fresh from making a deal with consultants, she was keen to see junior doctors back in her waiting room.
With junior doctors, my message has always been, if you come to the table with reasonable expectations, as the consultants did, we will be able to find a deal.
But Shadow Health Secretary Wes Streeting wasn't in a mood to mince words, though.
The Prime Minister has failed in the promise he made to the country to cut waiting lists. They're higher than they were when he became Prime Minister. We see the NHS still in the grips of the worst crisis in its history, and we can't go on like this.
Last weekend marked 6 months since the October 7th Hamas attacks and the start of the Israel-Hamas war, which has left over 33,000 Palestinians dead and more than half of Gaza's buildings destroyed. Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu sounded confident about his troops' progress as he spoke at a press conference to mark the anniversary.
Today we are marking 6 months of war. The achievements of the war are great. We eliminated 19 out of 24 Hamas battalions. We killed, wounded or captured a significant number of Hamas terrorists. We cleared Shifa as well as many other terrorist headquarters, and we continue to systematically destroy the underground tunnels.
But the last few weeks have seen dwindling support for the Israeli leader and his plan to target Rafah in the next phase of the war. Last weekend, tens of thousands of Israelis took to the streets calling for Netanyahu's removal, claiming he's an obstacle to freeing the remaining Israeli hostages in Gaza. And concern has been growing internationally too, with several allies expressing alarm about Israeli tactics, including the UK. Deputy PM Oliver Dowden said the UK is continually evaluating the situation.
We're not giving carte blanche, and we have a robust conversation with Israel. Indeed, both our Prime Minister had conversations with Prime Minister Netanyahu, and the Foreign Secretary had conversations with his opposite number.
Peace talks continued in Qatar on Monday, attended by delegations from Hamas, Israel and the US. Hamas spokesman said no progress had been made, but there have been more signs that a breakthrough might be coming closer. Meanwhile, following a pullout of IDF troops from the city of Khan Yunis, Palestinians began to return to a city that some described as looking like an earthquake hit it. Following the killing of 70 charity workers last week, pressure has continued on the UK government over its continued arms sales to Israel. Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer says it's time to see what the legal advice actually says.
There's a legal test for when sales should be suspended. The government's got advice on that. And so what the government should do is to publish that legal advice, or at least a summary of it, to publish that so we can all see it and the appropriate action can then be taken in relation to the sale of arms.
UK Foreign Secretary Lord David Cameron was in Washington for meetings on Tuesday, where he confirmed that there will be no change in the UK's position on continuing arms sales to Israel. Even as the flow of aid has increased into Gaza, it was clear that Israel is continuing with its plan for an assault on Rafah, despite considerable international pressure. And an interview with Joe Biden for Spanish TV network Univision during the week revealed the level of frustration American allies are feeling with Netanyahu's government.
I think what he's doing is a mistake. I don't agree with his approach. I think it's outrageous. So I'm calling for is for the Israelis to allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country.
There was no sign of any progress towards a ceasefire in Gaza on Wednesday, although Israel did announce that it had killed 3 sons and at least 2 grandchildren of Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh. The deaths came after an Israeli airstrike in northern Gaza, and the Hamas leader confirmed the deaths and continued his calls for an immediate ceasefire. 13 people died in a strike on Iran's consulate in Damascus last week, including Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahidi, who was a key figure in Iran's Republican Guards Quds division. Israel hasn't formally admitted to the strike, but Iran has made clear it is hell-bent on retaliation, with US intelligence expecting either a direct drone strike or a missile strike on Israeli targets. The US is believed to be working behind the scenes to avoid another open conflict in the region and has vowed to provide ironclad backing for Israel in the event of an attack. On Thursday, the Israeli Prime Minister seemed keen to emphasize the US support as he spoke to the Tel Nof airbase in southern Israel, directly in front of US-made and supplied F-15 fighter jets.
We are in challenging times. We are in the middle of the war in Gaza, which continues in full force. But we are also preparing for scenarios of challenges from other arenas. Whoever hurts us, we hurt them.
The post office scandal was back in the headlines this week as the inquiry into the Horizon scandal resumed on Tuesday with testimony from the man at the centre of the ITV drama, sub-postmaster Alan Bates. The inquiry has been running since 2020 under retired Judge Sir Wynne Williams, and this next phase is due to interview senior figures from the post office, including former CEO Paula Venables and senior executives from ITV provider Fujitsu. In advance of the hearing, Alan Bates made an appearance on a BBC breakfast special, and he says that the campaign he spearheaded will keep going until people are held accountable and action is taken.
There's huge bonuses have been paid to people over the years. Some of that should be clawed back.
Post Office Minister Kevin Holland-Raik wasn't holding back either, admitting that the government had been too slow to provide compensation and that they needed to accelerate the process. He also took a tough line on the consequences that should follow the results of the inquiry.
Well, evidence has been established and people should be prosecuted. That's my view. People who are within the post office and possibly further afield should go to jail.
It's safe to say the level of interest in the hearings has ramped up, though, in the wake of the ITV drama that brought a new spotlight on the cases of sub-postmasters accused and convicted of fraud. The man who has become synonymous with the victims of the scandal, Alan Bates, was in the witness chair and he testified about his two decades long battle for justice. Bates was no fan of former post office minister and now Lib Dem leader Ed Davey either, describing him as disappointing and offensive. Present at the hearing was current Post Office CEO Nick Reed, who was keen to emphasise how much things have changed.
I think we have dramatically changed the culture of the post office today, and that's clearly what I'm trying to do, both internally with the organisation and of course with postmasters at large.
This week saw Ireland's TikTok Taoiseach Simon Harris officially assume power on Tuesday and make history as Ireland's youngest leader. He kicked off his historic week with his party conference in Galway last weekend, where he called out Israeli PM Netanyahu and demanded a ceasefire in Gaza in his first address as party leader on Saturday. He also pledged to extend housing supports, create a package for small businesses and reduce income taxes for lower and middle income workers. It's a long list of priorities, but it doesn't appear that reuniting the Republic with the North has made it on his list just yet.
It's a legitimate political aspiration for people in our country to want to see a united Ireland. That's the Good Friday Agreement provides that framework where you can recognise different political aspirations and a very clear pathway for those to be achieved. That's not where my focus and priority is now, and quite frankly, I don't believe it's where our priority and focus should be.
The former Minister for Higher Education, Simon Harris, is just 37 years old, which makes him the sixth youngest leader in the world behind French PM Gabriel Attal, who is only 35. Harris was formally sworn in by the President of Ireland at lunchtime and is facing into an immediate challenge with local and European elections due in early June. His party, Fine Gael, had been struggling in the polls and he started his new job with a minor reshuffle and a promise to provide hope and a better future for all.
Whilst I am proudly the leader of Fine Gael, I will lead a coalition of three parties. And today, I sincerely promise to be a Taoiseach for all. I will work with you and for you and for the country that I know we all love.
Still to come on the Standout 7 landmark report on gender care and Americans enjoy a solar eclipse.
Right after this.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Welcome back.
A landmark report on gender care for under-18s was released on Wednesday and it found after a four-year review that children were let down by a lack of research and remarkably weak evidence. Dr. Hilary Cass says that's because the issue of gender and identity has become such a complicated topic. The care available was inadequate and under-resourced.
because of the toxicity of the debate, they've often been bypassed by local services who've been really nervous about seeing them. So they've tended to pass them straight on to the JID service.
NHS England says it's already made good progress on some of the changes recommended, including stopping the prescription of so-called puberty blockers and instead only making them available as part of future clinical trials. The report calls for the same standard of care for those who need gender care as is provided for other patients across the NHS. And Labour Shadow Home Secretary Yvette Cooper says the report is troubling.
Well, I hope that this report really is a watershed moment for the NHS, because the report's clear. It's basically talking about evidence and not having all of this get caught up in culture wars, instead be able to just put the child at the centre.
That was an excited TV presenter live from Texas as the solar eclipse reached its full totality. Millions of Americans gathered along the path of the last total eclipse visible in the US until 2040, and there seemed to be a huge party atmosphere amongst those who gathered. Fox News and conspiracy theorists had tried hard to hype up disasters and potential civil unrest, but the event passed off peacefully. NASA used the eclipse to carry out various experiments, including firing rockets into the moon's shadow to see how the Earth's atmosphere was affected by the event. The UK didn't get to see much because of clouds and the angle of the Earth. But Robert Massey of the Royal Astronomical Society says you do still have eclipse options.
We won't get one here again until 2081 in the Channel Islands, 2090 on the mainland. But if you travel a little bit, there's more of a chance, because they're about every 18 months or so somewhere on Earth. So the next European chance is in 2026 in August, when it goes through northern Spain and a bit of Portugal. And I think there'll be a lot of interest in that.
If you haven't heard Conan O'Brien's podcast, you're missing out. It's called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and it's so popular that it spawned a TV spin-off. The new TV show, which keeps the tradition of mentioning Conan's name as often as possible, is called Conan O'Brien Must Go. And in it, the man himself pays surprise visits to guests from the podcast. So he hops from Ireland to Norway to Thailand to Argentina, meeting all kinds of people along the way. To promote the show, which drops on April 18th, he popped up on the show he used to host, The Tonight Show, and shared an insane showbiz story about Prince from his time in the hot seat.
I go backstage and I'm standing there, and then you just feel a presence. It's Prince. I said, this is exciting. Are you going to play with Stevie Wonder? And he went, no, it's just a rumor. Stevie Wonder starts to play the opening to Superstition. And out of the corner of my eye, a guy has put a guitar over Prince. And he looks at me and he says, bye.
You've been listening to The Smart 7. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Hit that follow button and have a great day. Give us 7 minutes and we'll give you the world.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.